in this church. We already are receiving something from God. We get people saved once in a while. So I talked to other people around. They said, ain't nobody get saved in their church hardly. Now, I want to talk tonight about the spirit of life and the spirit of death. Now, how many knows deciding? That brings us into the next thing that I was going to say is to define. I don't know of hardly anybody that can define the devil and his works anymore. They've got him mixed up with God somewhere. But the light don't have no fellowship with darkness. Huh? That don't have no fellowship with darkness. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So we're going to have to define. Let's define the devil. Turn your Bible to St. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I'll quote it, but I want to read it so you can read it. The thief, that's the first definition. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many sees what I'm talking about there? That's defining the devil. He is defined. He's a thief, and he come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his definition. Anything that's got death in it, it's not godly. Now, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So that brings us to not just a decision. We've decided we know who he is, and we can identify him by defining him. Person that has death in their tongue is not godly. Let's turn our Bible to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17. And here we find out where people got into death instead of life that had life. And it says in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat of. That meant the tree of life, too. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, what does that mean? They took on a death spirit instead of a life spirit. And I'm hearing people say about churches, they're dead. Dead? That identifies them then, don't it? You know, people that's alive, they've got God in there. There's a life there. There's something has to come out. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the light. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we've divided now life from death. Death is darkness. Life is light. St. John 1:4 said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, I feel a death spirit hovering over our nation. Dead. The devil is trying to pronounce our nation dead. And I feel a death spirit coming over a lot of church people, and they're dying instead of getting more of the power of God to live. We need to get the light of the light and get the power to live. In him we what? We live and we move. Acts 17:28, if you want to look it up. In him we live and we move. And we have our being. Now, what we got into last night, a Christian, how many believes a Christian is supposed to be godly? So we can only be one or the other, godly or ungodly. There's so many things, different meanings, and so many things that's got people where they can't define anything, and they haven't decided nothing, and they're sitting in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, many things are legally right, so we're going to get into that in just a minute, but they're ungodly. How many knows that it's legal for a man to marry a man? That's legal, see? See, if we went by legal things, that's, you know, that's all right. You'd say that's all right in church. But the Bible says it's ungodly. It's not godly. It's ungodly. It's not probably so. It is a lie that the devil has concocted to bring people into a lie. So the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. So you can't go by what's legal. You got to go by what's godly. Somebody asked me at the end of the sermon last night, said, what if they ain't doing nothing? I said, that's sure ungodly too. If you ain't doing nothing, you're ungodly. Because God said, get up and go. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wife. They're doing something that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the flood came, the house stood because it was built upon a rock. So you can't look at legality. If you go by everything's legal, my, you're going to really be in a heap of trouble. So then, partial birth abortion. That's legal. They take the baby while it's being born and stick something in the back of its head and kill it while it's being born. And that's legal. But it's very ungodly. See, we're going to have to grade things out. We're going to have to define things now. God told me to start preaching definitions in the church. And I said, well, what in the world are you talking about, the Lord? I don't know what you're talking about definition. But I do now. He's put me through school the last 2 weeks on definitions, decisions, and things like that, and definition. We need to define the devil. We need to define his work. We need to define who he is. We need to expose him. People are set right in the church and somebody full of the devil right next to them, and they won't expose them. I'll tell you what, God's going to clean some houses up, and he's going to clean some churches up, and he's going to clean some people up, and we're going to have a bride for Christ. Praise God. Hey, can you say amen? One that's alive. But who would ever want to marry a dead woman? Well, I've heard some of you say so certain places is dead. Well, is Christ coming after a dead bride? No, she'll be really alive. Amen. She'll be his bride. He's preparing her right now. But you can't go by what's legal. Huh? You can't go by political. Some things are politically right, but ungodly. They're wrong. We have lots of politics in church. Vote for me and we get elected. We'll run this church. Huh? Oh, political right, but wrong. Wrong, ungodly. Sneak around and, you know, get this vote and that vote and that vote. No, that's ungodly. Pull it over my way politically. See, people think if it's political right, if it's legal, it's all right anymore. They've not been taught the Word of God. They've not been taught the power of God. They've not been taught how to live for God. And they're in a valley of decision. And they can't make a decision. And they can't define anything. I've been talking to someone, they can't define nothing. Huh? Therefore, they don't do nothing. And the do-nothing sit around and tell the other folks what the do-nothings are doing. Well, there's so much for that. You can't morally. He's a good man. She's a good woman. Pays their bills. Looks nice. Dresses right. Morally good. But wait a minute. Is that what godly is? Let's look at it this way, but are they born again? We've got millions of people in the church today that needs to be born again. They're good people. They don't chew tobacco. They don't smoke. They don't run around with somebody else's wife. They don't do this and they don't do that. You know, they do fine. You know, my dad was one of the most moral people I ever seen. But it took a deathbed to get him born again. But that man, he was his... I had such a good upbringing that way in the moral back. But morally, it's not always godly. See, morally can be produced by me. And moral values can be produced by you. You don't have to chew tobacco. You don't have to drink. You don't have to cuss. And you don't have to do that. You train yourself or be trained when you're a child. And you train yourself not to do those things. But that's not being born again. And guess what he said? Ye must be born again. John chapter 3 said, you must be born again. That's a must. So there goes another one out the window. Moral, political, legal, but not born again. So let's go in here just a little bit further. Socially. You know, lots of churches are a social club. All they got's a social club. And some of them, as I said last night, has got two or three social clubs in. Say six over in this club, and six over in that club, and six back yonder in that club. And each one of the clubs fighting the other club. And they say, we're socially, look here, we're the big shots in this community. I'm the banker, well, I'm the lawyer, and I'm the this, and I'm the that. That doesn't make a bit of difference. They can be whatever they can socially, but they've got to be godly. And these things are not godly. Politics does not belong in the church. But you must be born again. Come on, can you say amen? I don't know about you, but since I've got into this, I'm just having a ball with it. It's revived me. It's brought revival to my spirit because I can see now what's wrong with the church. I can see what's wrong with the home. I can see what's wrong with the fathers in the home. I can see what's wrong with the mothers in the home. I can see what's wrong with the children in the home. I can see what's wrong with the people in the church, and they need help. They need our prayer. They need our help. They need our love, of course, but you've got to grade it on godly or ungodly. How about biblically? Yes, my Bible, I'm living biblically. Let's just take his Bible here. I know this is the right one. But biblically, you could be biblically and be reading out of 40-some different times. 40-some different times? That's ungodly. That's as ungodly as two shoes on the left foot. That's ungodly. But this book right here, that I've seen thousands of people saved when I preach on it. I've seen thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen thousands of people healed. This Bible is a godly Bible. It's a holy Bible. You know, it's either holy or unholy. It's either godly or it's ungodly. So we need to start training ourselves in the Spirit to define. Define. The Bible's is not the answer. Unless you got the right one. There's 42 or 3 different kinds, and there's only one of them that's right. Most people don't have a chance of getting the right one. You go into the bookstore and they say, here, I've got a nice NIV for you. And here's a brand new one. It's just out, off the press. You'll really like this one. You can understand it. You can't understand it in the Holy Ghost unless you've got the Holy Ghost. And the minute you've got the Holy Ghost, you begin to read it and it's wrong and it reveals it unto you, and they don't like that. God is dealing with us to come on down and begin to walk these steps. Number one, decision. You got to make a decision. And it has to be a decisive decision. Decide. It's called decisive decision. Then you have to learn how to define. You know, I've done this for years, but didn't realize what it's doing. You ever know that? You ever do something this for years, and you could define things, but you didn't know what you're really doing? But now I know what I've been doing for several years. I've been defining things. That's helped my ministry more than anything. I didn't even know what I was doing. Staggered on to it. Spiritually, God led me in the Spirit to it. But decisive and defining. So things have to be, in certain ways, defined. Let's look at this one. They separate themselves off to each other and won't have nothing to do with nobody else's church. No other Christians, I won't have anything to do. He's a Baptist, and I ain't going to have nothing to do with that. And that's an old Pentecostal, they're old fogey. And I ain't going to have nothing to do with that, and they're Jehovah's Witness. We've got ourselves sealed in. It's called separating. That's the carnal one. Separating ourselves. Separating ourselves. Romans 8:6 said to be carnally minded is what? There's your death sentence. But to be spiritually minded is life, and it is peace. So let's look at this thing here. Jude 19 says, separating themselves sensual. Separating themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. I know folks who can quote chapters. They've separated themselves since, although they don't have the Spirit. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't have any idea how to make a decision. They have no idea how to decide anything. And they have no idea how to define anything.
So let's go back up here to where Satan defined himself in Genesis chapter 2. And let's read that chapter 2 and verse 16 and verse 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat. You have everything here. I want you to know that, Adam. You're my creation. Everything in this garden you can eat of. But wait a minute, Adam. There's one out there in the middle of the garden that the day that you eat of that, ye shall what? Ye shall surely, let's say surely. That's positive, that's decisive. You shall surely die the day, and what you know what? He that sinneth will die. He'll die spiritually. So, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So what brought in? Adam lost the spirit of life. And don't tell me that ain't in the Bible. I haven't got time to go with you now, but the spirit of life and took on a spirit of death. That's what it said, to be carnally minded is what? But to be spiritually minded is life, and it is peace. So it's defined. If you're spiritually, you have life and peace. If you took on the spirit of death, you're dead. You're just something walking around dead. A zombie. And every now and then you hear something from Satan. He say, yeah, I'll try that. Huh? And that old thing will say, why don't you go back to drinking or using drugs like you used to? I think I'll try it. Because you're operating in the spirit of death. Our nation has begun to operate in the spirit of death. Our nation was a high living, a wonderful nation of God. Well, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our nation was a nation that had made decisions in their Congress and in all that, that it was a Christian nation. Now we have somebody that says it is not a Christian nation. It's for all people, Muslims and all. But Muslims like to kill. But Christians like to bring alive. I'd like to see the church come alive, wouldn't you? I'd like to see the houses come alive. I'd like to see the people come alive. I'd like to see the churches have a revival. I don't care who comes to these revivals that we're having. Whatever church it is, my purpose is not to steal sheep, but to get them alive. And they can take something alive back to their church and try to get it straightened out and try to pump some life in, breathe into it the breath of life. See, our breath in the church. If you're godly, if God is in there, what are you doing? You're breathing what? Life. Because it comes from God. The preaching will be lively because it comes from God. It won't be no 20-minute drone sermon. The days of 21-minute drone service is over. The preacher is going to start preaching. The real preachers are going to stand up and begin to preach life because they're going to have life. And if you've got life, you're going to give life. You're not going to give death if you've got life. But if you've got death, you're going to hand it out. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, here we come to this part right here. In the valley of decision, trying to decide, and trying to get where we can define something, know what's going on. The first thing that we face, is it good or evil? So if it's good, it's godly. And if it's evil, it's death. Because he that sinneth shall surely die. When you eat of that tree, you're going to die. People said, I don't like the word holy. Well, I don't like the one unholy. So we're divided. How can they say they don't like the word holy? Because you know what defines Jesus? Holy. He's a holy child. He was a holy man. All his ministry was holiness, purity, life. That defines God. Holiness. Now, unholy defines the same thing as ungodly. And that's what Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, he don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly because he got life. Listen, if you've got life in you and you know how to define and you know how to do these things that I'm talking about here tonight, you will not hear a person that has the wrong spirit in them. They will not hear. They will not take counsel
Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river. He's a living creature, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The next thing, the ungodly are not so. They're not got roots by the rivers of water. They not got trees that bear fruit. They not got good soil. The ungodly are not so. But he shall be like chaff. How many knows what chaff is? That's something that just floats around. It certainly doesn't have roots. It not even got seed. It's just the hull of everything. And it doesn't have seed in it. This seed that we're talking about, the seed of the tree of life, it's rooted down. But the ungodly are not so. They're like chaff. And you see, that's why you can't build a church, because they're here today and gone tomorrow. And they can't define anything. Did you know people that's stupid, they want to counsel you more than anybody else? They don't know beans about it, but they're going to tell you what they know about it. I want to counsel with you. I'll tell you what we believe. What Bible you out of? One way over yonder somewhere. But I want to counsel you. This Bible, you can understand it. And on and on and on. So it's either godly, and if it ain't godly, it's ungodly. Can't be anything else. You have two choices. Godliness or ungodly. Somebody said, but I like to be partly ungodly once in a while. Well, you might just stay that way when you get cramped in it some of these times and you can't get out of it. Once the devil gets you hooked and once the devil gets you bound, you have to be loose. You have to be. That's why we have sometimes have to pray for people, get them down the floor, roll them across the floor, and they foam at the mouth and all that kind of stuff. You know, they got themselves in deep with the devil and they're identified with him and they have death, and you got to cast the death out of them and bring the life in. Tonight I'm bringing some life, I hope, into you. I don't say you don't have life, but I want to bring that life so much greater in your life. You said you'll have life and it more what? Abundantly. See, you all know what it is, don't you? Abundant life is a whole lot. Can you say amen? That means abundant. You know, all of you that talks to the Lord and don't get off on the other stuff, I like to sit around and talk with you because we talk life. But, you know, we have to mention death once in a while. Because we have to get rid of it. We have to raise some of them up out of the dead. So the man and woman, in this here Genesis chapter 2, they fled from the presence of the Lord. What did they flee from? They fled from godliness. You know why? Because they had become ungodly. Because they disobeyed God. And he said, we have to define it and live it or practice spiritual death, then the whole body. Practice. This spiritual death comes, and then we have to get back and practice life. You know, sometimes people, like when they drown in the river, they have to pump the water out, the death out of them, and then blow in some life. Right? It's the same principle spiritually. We have to pump the death out of them. We have to preach the devil out of them. Come on. I don't say there's anybody here got the devil, but I wouldn't get around too much with those that's got death. Because if you catch it, it's kind of like the flu that we've had going around here. Boy, it was a strain that just nearly everybody got. Where you been? I had the flu. It's some kind of a thing that we didn't need. Well, in death, we don't need death, do we? We need life. So godly, it's either godly or ungodly. It's life or it's death. It's a choice whether we're going to live or die. The thief, what happened? He's defined. He come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? How many would rather have life and peace than death? Huh? I don't know how I could ever go to a church and sit around and be a deadhead. I just can't do it. I've got to be doing something. There's a life on the inside of me that drives me to go on and to go on. And God's a speaking to my heart. He said, you're not near done yet. Boy, that sounds good. That sounds like life to me. I'm not near done yet. God spoke that to my heart. I don't know how long, what he means that near done, but I've got some things to do yet. God's still got something for me. And I'm sure it's going to be delivering the word of God, which is life, instead of death.
Well, it's the truth anyhow. Jesus is defined. Now, the devil is defined. Now, how is Jesus defined? He has come that we might have one, and that we might have it one. That's the definition of Jesus. The another definition of John 14:6, he said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Said, you can't get to the Father. No man cometh to the Father. But let me, somebody said, there's another thing going on now. They're saying there's more ways than Jesus to get to heaven. That is really a lie. God so loved the world. He had the gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And there is no other way. He shed his blood. He ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, prayed to the Father. The Father sent the Holy Ghost, and there is no other way. He said, I'm the way. But they tell me there's two preachers preaching there's another way, especially for the Jews. No, the Jews are going to have to go that way more than anybody else. They're the one that killed him, remember? They're the one that the devil got a hold of and said, now he's got to die. You got to get rid of him. Let's go just a little bit further here. Jesus is defined, and we must identify him as the light. Satan is defined. We must identify him as the death. He started out as the angel that ministered in heaven and wound up as the death angel.
You know, when the death angel knocks on the door, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to die. It's a spirit of death. And yet we have people in church that's sitting there entertaining the death.
And we have preachers preaching it. Oh, they have a good message. They've got it. It's outlined wonderfully. And they can really preach it wonderfully. And it's entertaining. And some of the time he can keep them laughing.
But this is not a laughing matter. This is a weeping matter.
He that goeth for weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Crying. Don't never let that weeping leave you.
None other thing helps me anymore than to get in a room with my Bible and pray and break into tears, and life comes strong. Something happens. The devil's work is to kill. The Lord's work is to revive. And man chose death in the garden. God didn't choose it. Man chose it. He thought it over. He looked it over. He said, it looks good to me. The devil said, yeah, take a bite. But God said, the day you eat of it, you're going to die. He said, don't believe God. He knows that when you eat of that, you're going to be smart. Smarter than he is, in other words. You're going to be smart. You're really going to have something if you'll eat this. The minute he ate it, he died and run and hid. He ran and hid. You can tell the attendance in churches anymore what people's been eating all week. They've been eating from the table of Satan. All puffed up on deck. Going to church tonight? I don't think I'll go tonight. I want to sit home and watch that program. Rawhide. Yeah, that's a good one. We'll stay home and watch Rawhide. I'm sure it's got a lot of life in it. But that's for your fleshly entertainment. How many knows what comes first in your life? Jesus Christ. He's number one. He's not number two. He's not number three. He's first.
He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He bring life into you. He'll cast out the death. When he comes in, the death has to go. See, there's a spirit of death that's roaming around every place. You know, there's people running up and down the highways around here snorting out death. Oh, snorting out death. Let me give you some death. You know, if they could just turn around, they could snort out some life. Pump these people full of life, and God would really be proud of them. I know a lot of people that if they could just get converted, Jesus told the Apostle Peter, he said, I've prayed for you that Satan wouldn't get you, but he said, I've prayed for you that when you're converted, you'll strengthen the brethren. So that tells me something. A converted Christian, one that's got life, they'll strengthen each other instead of drag each other down.
They'll strengthen each other. They won't tie on and drag somebody down. They'll strengthen each other. We got to identify these things. How many believes we got to identify some things? You listen to the wrong thing a little while and it'll kill you. just takes a little bit of arsenic to kill you. It don't take much of this other stuff to kill you. If it's from death, you don't want it. Man chose death in the garden. Jesus bailed him out in the New Testament. Thank God he bailed us out. He come to the door of prison where we were set up in darkness, and he bailed us out. He said, you're free. You can go. He said, you're free. You can go now. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay hands upon the sick. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them because they're so full of life.
You know, the first thing when a person's been bound on drugs and different things, alcohol, and any kind of thing they've been bound on, the first thing they think of when they get a little low spot, they say, I know what I'll do. We'll get some drugs, get some alcohol and drugs. That's the way it works, ain't it? That comes to your mind. But life in there said, no.
You get out of here, you devil. You've got to go! Get out! You gotta go! I'm a Christian now! I'm a new creature! I have power over you! You better get going! I'll tell you, it's time the church gives the devil his orders. Huh? And the people that's carrying him around, give them some orders too. It takes people to carry the devil, and it takes people to carry the Lord. Can you say amen? He bailed us out.
He said, you're free. Lord, I'll tell you, from the morning he set me free, I was an hour late for work. I bawled, I squalled, I done everything I said I wouldn't do. I didn't believe in emotionalism, but there wasn't a person that ever got any more emotional than they did the morning I got saved in an old apartment building in St. Louis. He brought in life. Death left, and a new man erupted. And he gave me life to spread out to other people. And he'd do the same for any other minister or any person. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to win a soul. He gives man new life. He bailed him out in the New Testament and gave man a new life, which is his life. That's his life he gave us. When he died, he gave it to us. He said, my life now is your life. Did you ever think about that? And in him we live and we move and we have our being. Would the musicians come?